The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
This morning we're going to talk about Kinsman Redeemer. We talked last week. I tried to give you a little bit of background about Redeemer and what it means in the to the Jewish people or the Hebrews at the time, how important it was, part of their culture and their life, and lots of things were redeemed in their culture. Redemption to them was a big deal and is a big deal for us and should be a big deal for us. When we start thinking about redeeming, we think about redeeming coupons or redeeming a gift certificate or something like that. But redemption to them was life and death in most cases. And when we really think about this story of the kinsman redeemer, which we're going to look at this morning, we're going to be looking at scripture from Ruth, from the book of Ruth. So if you'd like to go to that book, that we will get there eventually. And we're going to do kind of an overview, and I'm going to do my best to fill in the blanks as we go through this book, because we want to cover the whole thing this morning as we get started. The first scripture we're going to share, though, is Leviticus chapter 25, beginning with chapter 25, verse 25. If one of your brethren becomes poor and has sold some of his possessions, and if his redeeming relative comes to redeem it, then he may redeem what his brother sold. Or if the man has no one to redeem it, but he himself becomes able to redeem it, then let him count the years since its sale and restore the remainder to the man whom he sold it, that he may return to his possession. But if he is not able to have it restored to himself, then what was sold shall remain in the land, the hand of him who bought it, until the year of Jubilee. And in the Jubilee, it shall be released, and he shall return to his possession. Okay, some things that are there. First of all, talking about being able, if somebody becomes destitute and has to sell their land, then they can buy it back. If they get to the point where they can do that. If they cannot, then a family member can step in and buy that property back, that their possession. And it also mentions the year of Jubilee, which is the 50th year. They counted every 77 sevens. Every 50th year was a Jubilee year, and all the land would revert back to the original owner. So families never really lost their property. They leased it more or less, but they never lost it. They always got their property back. Now, this is a concept that is a little bit foreign to us. So when we sell property, we sell property, and then, you know, if we're able to buy it back, we can do that at any time. But there, and it, usually for us, it's based on whatever the property prices are at the time. For them, it was based on how many years they was coming up to the next Jubilee. So if they were 1 year from the Jubilee, they could purchase that land back for a very reasonable amount. If they were 40 years from the Jubilee, then they paid a reasonable amount for it, because the other person had paid a good sum for it. So redeeming this land, there is a kinsman redeemer that we're going to be talking about this morning in regards to the book of Ruth. And that's what I just explained to you, was the relative is a kinsman redeemer. The Hebrew word is Goel Hadah, and it basically means a kinsman who is able to redeem or to buy back. This book is a very small book. The book of Ruth is only about four chapters, but hidden in these chapters is the message of the cross. And it's really exciting to see how God, throughout the Bible, no matter what book you're reading, you can see, you can recognize that the message of the cross is there. But this one in particular gives us an understanding of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he came to do for us and how he redeemed us. The family in this book starts out in a very difficult situation. But in the end, they find a Redeemer. And it's exciting to know that no matter what is going on in our life, we have a Redeemer. Family, you know, as we go through our lives, things can be difficult. We can have good times, and we have bad times. You know, Jesus never promised us that everything's going to always be good. He promised us that he would never leave us and he would never forsake us. That's his promise. So yeah, we're going to have those tough times. Micah was telling me the other day that he was playing with Emberly, our 2-year-old granddaughter, and they were playing around and she hit him in the face really hard. He said it hurt. And she just started laughing. She thought it was really funny. And he's kind of scolded her. You know how you do. You know, that's not funny. And she looked at him like only Emberly could do and said, "Daddy, it was a little bit funny." Wow. You know, life has a way. Sometimes it's a little bit funny. Sometimes it's joyous. Sometimes it's extremely difficult. But, you know, things like that we just have to cherish. You have to remember. It can be fun. But do you know what? She's going to get older, and I know this little girl, she has a very strong will. And Daddy and Emberly are going to tangle many times coming up in the future. But praise God, there's always going to be those good memories as well. Hallelujah. Good things happening. Difficulty in life can be a little bit funny. They can be a lot sad. And that's where we're going to start out this morning with this book. It's pretty sad for Ruth and her family. Let's look at first chapter. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." Now we don't know exactly who was judging the land at that time, but it was during a period of time when one of the judges ruled. And if you read in the book of Judges, you can see that there were many different judges over a long period of time who judged Israel. God chose the person and put him in as the judge before the children started crying out for a king. And they cried out for a king, and God told them they'd be sorry, and they got Saul, and then eventually David became king. But, you know, sometimes we ask for things that are not necessarily the best thing for us. And God in his grace sometimes allows us to have those things for us to look and realize, hey, that might have been a mistake. Maybe we should just let God take care of our life rather than try to rule it ourselves. But anyhow, in this situation, there was a famine in the land, and this man, Elimelech, left with his family, with his wife and two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And his wife's name was Naomi. And they went to the land of Moab. And while they were in the land of Moab, Elimelech dies. The two sons take wives. They take Orpah and Ruth as wives, Moabite women. Now, they were not restricted from taking those women as their wives, but if they had children from the, there was some restrictions that came through the law on those children. But the particular group of people, the Moabites, were they were allowed to marry them and bring them into their culture. However, there was some things that was going on with the Moabites and the Israelites, the Jewish people, that was really difficult. But here's what happened. The famine came in the land, and they sold everything, all they had, sold all their land, and they went to live in this land because they thought it would be better to live there. And while they were there, things got worse instead of better. Everything happened. The two sons, after about 10 years, the two sons also passed away. That left Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws. And let me tell you something, in this time, in this culture, it was very difficult for women to survive. A woman needed a man to be able to survive in the culture that they lived in. And they had no one. So Naomi knew that she had to do something. So she prepared herself to go back to Israel. Sometimes in our lives, we get to a point where it just seems like things are not going exactly the way we'd like for them to. Difficulties. And I would say to you, in those times, be careful about the decisions that you make. You know, I've been told by some very wise people that if your spouse passes away, don't make any major decision. Don't sell your house. Don't sell anything major in your life. Don't make career changes. Don't make any kind of major decisions for at least a year. Because many times when we're in a place of grief, we make poor decisions. And I would say, you know, although this God had his hand upon this whole situation the whole time, this is an example to us to realize that, hey, maybe their decision wasn't such a good decision to move away. But God was going to make it. Now, that's the other thing about decisions that we make. Even if we make bad decisions, guess what? Our God has a way of causing those decisions to turn out for our good. He promised us he would do that. Ruth 1, 16 and 17. Ruth is getting ready to go back to Israel, to Bethlehem, actually. But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and my God, your God, my God." Next. "Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." So as Naomi gets ready to go back to Bethlehem, Ruth makes a commitment to stay with her. The other daughter-in-law, Naomi released both of them, said, "Go back to your families. I have no one for you." She releases them, but Ruth is committed to Naomi. She was determined to stay with her. Now, this is really an unusual situation because the Hebrews and the Moabites were in conflict with each other and had been for many, many years. There was a judge that ruled over Israel, that actually helped deliver them from the Moabites, but the Moabites had ruled over the Israelites for many years, and they were harsh taskmasters over the Israelites. In Judges chapter 3, you can read about that. It was about 18 years that they ruled over them. But Ruth and Naomi had a commitment to one another. In spite of the racial tensions between the two ethnic groups, they stood together. Now, I'd just like to say something real quick here about that, because there's a lot of racial tension between groups, ethnic groups, in our world today, all over the world. And it's really not surprising to me when I read what Jesus said, that nation will rise against nation, and the Greek word there is ethnos, so ethnic group against ethnic group. I don't believe we're actually in that particular time that he's talking about. We're rapidly approaching that. And we can see much tension. And it's absolutely essential that the Church of Jesus Christ not allow ourselves to be caught up in struggling against one ethnic group against another. We are the body of Christ.
That's right.
And the body of Christ should stand together all over the world.
Amen.
We must stand with one another. You know, blood, I've heard it said blood is thicker than water. And what they're talking about is family. Well, we're family. We are knit together by the blood of the Lamb.
That's right.
Amen. And the Bible literally tells us that we are children of the Most High God. You know, I have two brothers. We don't always see eye to eye. But I can guarantee you, if you threaten one of my brothers, the other two of us would be there to help him, to be on his side. We'd fight if we had to. Are we going to fight for our brothers and sisters?
Come on, sir.
Are we willing to stand on behalf of those who proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, no matter what? No matter what nation, what ethnic group, no matter where they come from, we must stand together. You know, there's an old story by Aesop, and he tells a story about two brothers that were traveling together. Now I'm adapting this to my story, so if you read it, it doesn't say brothers. But there was two brothers that were traveling together, and as they were going down the road, walking, going someplace, out comes a bear. And the bear is obviously very hungry. So the two brothers take off running toward this tree. And the first brother gets to the tree and runs up, but the other one didn't have time to get in the tree. And he didn't know what to do, but he had heard that if you lay down and play dead, a bear won't have anything to do with something that's already dead. So he laid down, he played dead, and that big old bear started sniffing around, sniffed all over his body, sniffed up around his ears and his head, and then just walked away. Well, after the coast was clear, the brother came down out of the tree, and they were talking. He said, "What did that bear say to you when he was whispering in your ear?" And he said, "Be careful to never travel with a brother who deserts you when you're in time of trouble." Amen. Let's not desert one another in time of trouble. Let us stand together no matter what. Ruth 2, 1 and 2. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Now, Ruth is going out to do something that the people in Israel, the poor and those who were destitute, were able to do in that society. God had set up a welfare program for those who were in need. And the farmers, the landowners, were only allowed to go through their field and their rows one time. They were not allowed to go back and glean every or take all the produce. They had to leave what was left. How many of you have ever gone through your garden and, you know, let's say tomatoes. Picture tomatoes, and then you went back through and you saw, hey, I missed two or three here. Pretty easy to do, isn't it? Well, that's what always happens. And God realized that, so he set up this program for those who were sick and who were in a position of poverty, destitute, that they could take care of, they could be provided for. And they had to do something. They had to go out into the field and glean. And that's what Ruth was about to do. She was about to go out into the fields because she was in that situation, and she was going to glean what was left. Now, as you read this, you may think, based on what it said about Boaz right there in that first scripture that I read, that she was actually going to Boaz's field. She had targeted him. But Ruth didn't know Boaz at this point. As you read through this story, you find that out. She had no idea who Boaz was, and Naomi hadn't mentioned him to her. That part is put in there so that we will have clarity when the time comes for us to see what's happening. Whoever was telling this story, some believe it was Samuel that wrote this. But regardless, she's going out and she's going to glean in the fields, where the people will allow her to glean. Now, that was a commandment in Israel, but how many know that just because it's a law doesn't mean everybody follows the law? Yep. Me and Lisa.
Yep. We
just because it's a seatbelt law doesn't mean I always follow the law. Only when my wife is in the car with me. She's not happy either. That's not true. I do try to put my seatbelt on. There's sometimes that I do forget about it. But yes. Yes, yes, when you get caught, yeah, that happened one time to me. I think I've tried to learn my lesson from it, but I don't always. But we know that, you know, just because it's a law doesn't mean that it's going to be followed. And that was the situation here that, you know, she went out to find out who was going to abide by the law, who was going to allow her to glean. So she started gleaning, and there was people that was allowing this to happen. Now, as we think about this and we read through this, this is a depiction, a picture of people who are trying to live under the law or live under works, trying to work their way to receive from God, trying to find God's favor by works. Let me tell you something. Listen to me closely. You're not going to get the favor of God by doing good works. You already have the favor of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, your Redeemer. You get His favor because you are a child of the Most High God. The works that we do because, or as an example, or let me say it this way. We can't get to heaven through good works, but I do believe it's an indication that we have a reservation there. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
That's what it's all about. As Ruth is gleaning, she crosses over into the field of Boaz. Now, Boaz observes her. He sees her. He's attracted to her. This is a love story. You know, in order for me to get to the point where I wanted to marry my wife, Tammy, I first had to be attracted to her. Amen?
Amen.
Nobody goes out looking for somebody they're not attracted to. When it comes time to, for you young people, I know you young men are looking for somebody you're attracted to. Amen? Come on.
Amen.
You better be. You're going to live your whole life with them. So you want to be attracted to that person. And Boaz was attracted to Ruth. He saw her. But here's the thing. They told him who she was, that she was the young woman that came with Naomi, and Boaz was schooled in the law, and he knew the oral traditions, he knew his descendants, and immediately he knew that he was a kinsman redeemer. So he began to woo her. He began to cause her desire to show her how much he cared about her, and he was attracted to her. Let's go to the next chapter. Ruth 2, 21 through 23. And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to refuge." Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." So they're having this exchange with one another. And Ruth, I know it's, as you read through this story, we don't realize it, but it appears that this has been about a year process that this has been going on. Boaz recognized her. Boaz started doing special things for her, telling his young men, leave some extra, drop some sheaves, special sheaves as you go through the field, drop it off so Ruth can get it. You know, he's treating her really, really good. And she's recognizing this. And she's understanding that he's got his eye on her. And she likes it. Amen? It's always good, isn't it, ladies, to have a man who will romance you a little bit? Hey, guys, I'm talking to you this morning. It's not too late. You know, I know you bought your wife flowers 5 years ago, but she needs them regularly. That's right, right now. Amen. And maybe it's not flowers. Maybe it's some kind of gift. Maybe it's just something, you know, I've told you before. With Tammy, it can just be a candy bar. Or what? Oh, she's never going to let me live that down. I bought her a candy bar and then I ate it. Yeah. Okay. Not very smart. But it's very important in our marriages that we continue to do things to romance our wife, to romance our husband. Come on. This life can be too boring sometimes if we don't do those kind of things. Let's make sure that we care about one another. And romance is a part of our relationships. So Boaz knew what he was doing. He knew his responsibility, and he began to chase after Ruth. He pursued her, just like Jesus pursues us. He chases after us. Before I knew him, he was still chasing after me. He still made a way for me. And the Lord, you know, I love my Lord. But the Word of God tells us we love him because he first loved us. He does chase people. He chases us down. Not everybody responds, but he gives everybody an opportunity and chases after us. Ruth 3, 1 through 6. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" Now Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not a relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself, known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he is lying, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he shall tell you what you should do. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. All right. So Boaz made it known to everybody that he had eyes for Ruth. But the truth is, his hands were tied. He was not the first in line as a kinsman redeemer. And the fact is that the person that needed to be redeemed had to present themselves, according to their tradition and their laws, had to present themselves to the kinsman redeemer, had to make themselves available. And that's what Naomi is telling her to do. Go down to the threshing floor. This was a time of harvest. The farmers always stayed out in their field at the threshing floor to protect their harvest, and they all slept out there together. And what Naomi is saying, please, there's been a lot of misunderstanding. What Naomi is telling Ruth to do is to go down and present herself to Boaz as someone who is available. She was not going down there propositioning him, as some have suggested. She was doing what their tradition told them to do. When she uncovered his feet, she was expecting him to either tell her to go away or respond by taking his garment and covering her. And that was showing that he was in favor of being her kinsman redeemer. And being the kinsman redeemer, and that's exactly what he did, he covered her. She slept there that night along with all the other people who were in the place outside. She got up the next morning, and Boaz told her, he said, he would go take care of the situation. There was someone else in line, and he would go take care of it. Now, the reality is, it was Ruth and Naomi's responsibility to follow through with the first kinsman redeemer. She was supposed to go and present herself to him. And instead of that happening, Boaz chose or said, I'm going to go for you in your place. What an awesome picture of what Jesus did for us. He came and stood in the gap for us. He took our place. We are supposed to present ourselves to God, but Jesus came and presented us to Almighty God through his blood. Boaz goes and takes care of the situation. Boaz knew exactly what to do. Our Redeemer did all the work on the cross. But he can't act completely on our behalf unless we come to him and say, Lord, I believe in you. Lord, I trust you. Be my Savior, my Redeemer. We have to present ourselves to him. We know what the Word of God says. Jesus came for the whole world, John 3:16. It also tells us that you have to believe on him. You have to be trust. You have to trust in him. Revelation 5:9 says, and they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you are slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Hallelujah. Ruth 3:11-13. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good. Let me do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. Okay, I already explained what was going on there. So there remained an obstacle. Someone that was a kinsman redeemer closer than Boaz. And Boaz took on the responsibility to go talk to this guy. In the beginning, Boaz goes to the gate where all business is conducted, and he finds this guy, and he says, sit down here, I want to talk to you. And he says there's a property that Naomi owns, and you're the kinsman redeemer. Do you want to purchase this property? And the guy says, yeah, I'd like to do that. But then Boaz says, oh, wait a minute, there's something else you need to know. There is a widow from one of Elimelech's sons that you need to take on as your wife. And the guy said, no, wait a minute, I guess I don't want to do this. That doesn't sound like a good deal to me after all. So the guy backs out. He takes his shoe off, which is a representation of what he was, you know, that he was releasing it to Boaz. And actually, Boaz had the right. He didn't do this in this situation. But he and the other elders had a right to spit on this guy because he refused to take on his responsibility as a kinsman redeemer. Boaz was just happy to take on. He was happy now. He could purchase the land and he could take Ruth as his wife. It was a marriage. It was dictated as a marriage to him as far as he was concerned. When a widow requested the next of kin to perform the role of kinsman redeemer, a Goel, he had some choices. It wasn't an absolute that he had to do it. He had to be qualified as a kinsman, first of all. He had to be able to perform the duty, have the funds, and be able to provide. And then he had to be willing. If he was none of these three, then it was released to the next person. For us, Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law and the role of the kinsman redeemer. You remember Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill the law. And that's exactly what he was doing. Romans 8:3 says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. You know, it may seem remarkable to us that Boaz, a wealthy Jew, would take this Gentile woman as his wife. But as you look back through and you see what took place, and we see who Boaz was, you remember the story of Rahab, who was the harlot that saved the spies that went into Jericho, and her family was saved. Well, Rahab was Boaz's mother. So he had some experience with those kind of people that had been rejected and were outcasts. Ruth and Boaz had a son, Obed. Obed had a son, Jesse. Jesse had a son, David. God is remarkable in his plans. No one is outcast. No one is on the outside. Everyone is accepted by our Lord and Savior. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, where you've come from. It doesn't matter. You are accepted by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he is our Redeemer. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and his kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.